Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty. And joining me tonight is Fedra Ekpris.
Hello, everybody.
Jack McCarthy is AWOL. Hopefully he'll be back next week, but right now he was just very busy. And he'll probably be back next week. So on tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to go over a lot of news, but we've also seen a couple of trailers that we wanted to go over. And I guess we're going to go right into that really quick, Fedra. So Two major trailers kind of came out this week. Which one do you want to go over first? There's The Boys Season 3, and then there's She-Hulk.
Probably She-Hulk.
All right.
Ladies first.
Ladies first. All right, so what'd you think of She-Hulk?
You know, I liked it. I thought in the trailer it had a little bit of everything. It gave me a good idea of what to expect. I was kind of blown away that the Hulk is actually going to make an appearance in here. I didn't think that he was going to step in at all. So, hey, that's kind of cool. I know you're not a big fan of the actor. I always mess up his last name. So,
you can Mark go. Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. There we go. I mean, I like the way she looks. I like this kind of feeling that she wants to be quote unquote normal and just wants to be a lawyer. But then, you know, there's this side of her to embrace. I like that theme of it in there. As we said from the images, the outfit like itself looks great. So I'm very looking forward to it. What about you?
I've seen a lot of negativity online, and I'll be honest with you, I actually enjoyed it. It was a nice surprise for me. It looks like fun, you know, and I think that's what we kind of need. It looks a lot different than the other series that we've seen. I think it's going to be kind of like a comedy slash legal slash action adventure type of show. And I think she looks really good, except I think some of the CGI is very wonky right now. I really hope they fix it, especially when she shows up in that evening gown. That just didn't look right. That looked like it was a video game or something like that. There's scenes where she does look good, and then there are scenes where she does not look good at all. But I do like the look of her. I like her costume. I was never a huge fan of She-Hulk in the comics. I mostly... when I knew her, she was sometimes on the Fantastic Four, and I barely followed her.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between her and the Hulk back then was she retained her intelligence, and she also had a job, you know, like where she was a lawyer, like which they're following.
Right.
And the Hulk back then was just kind of like Jekyll and Hyde. Oh, it was another thing too. Yeah, I am pretty sure... I know if Jack was here, he would have been able to confirm it, that she didn't change. Like once she was the She-Hulk, she was the She-Hulk. She didn't revert into human form.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's still the case in the comics. But my, I think it's cool to see Mark Ruffalo return as Professor Hulk, but I'm tired of that character already. He's got to go back to the old school Hulk, but right now it's good. I'd rather see Professor Hulk than Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner. I think that's more fun to see the Hulk than to see Bruce Banner working with Jennifer Walters. But at some point the Hulk's got to return to his old Hulk. I prefer the Savage Hulk where he's just mindless and
smash.
Hulk smash. Exactly. And they'll probably do that eventually because he changed a lot in the comics. I think people are going to get bored of this Hulk with the glasses. I already am. We saw the Abomination and Tim Roth was...
Yeah, briefly.
Yeah, he was there and he was in human form. Well, I guess... No, he was not in human form at the end of The Incredible Hulk. I think that...
Right.
Yeah.
Also, wasn't he fighting in Shang-Chi too?
He was.
Yeah.
But I guess my point is, how is he able to go back and forth into human form and the Abomination? I think that's kind of odd. But if you're going to have Tim Roth back, I'd rather see Tim Roth than just hear his voice. So maybe he does kind of have like that Hulk sort of powers, or maybe they found a cure for him and he wants to be the Abomination again. Problem with the She-Hulk, though, she doesn't have great villains. And I guess she borrows from, you know, the Hulk, some of his villains. And but not the, I can't think of any really good villains that she can go up against.
Oh, from the comics, you mean? That might be relative in the show.
Yeah, but she might, you know, go the legal route where she's defending criminals and maybe superheroes. Maybe we'll see that, like some that we've seen before.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll say the only thing that I didn't like with this was the whole dating app thing.
Thank you.
A bunch of baloney. There's no way in hell a guy is going to see her. What is she? She's got to be, I think she's close to 7 feet tall and she's green and I can't see guys lining up to date her. You know?
I mean, it was cute to see that reversal of like a girl picking up a guy and leading him into the bed. Like, okay, that was kind of, but it was also cheesy to me. It was just like, okay, you just wanted to slip that in there just for, you know, commentary sake. But yeah, I also thought that was kind of like slimy, like really, like, wouldn't she be really driven and really focused on her work rather than trying to find a dude on an app? Like, really?
You know, and they're probably just doing it for some form of comic relief. It was a bit funny, but still, I just don't think it's realistic. There's no way in hell I would want to go out with the She-Hulk. I could think of so many other women in the Marvel universe that I would want to go after, but not her. You know, and she,
I would be worried, you know, if she turns over and just like pummels me, you know, and I can't breathe, you know.
No, I'd be afraid that I'd lose something in the process.
True. True.
But she does look good, though. I mean, you know, she does. She is attractive, I would say. But the whole thing is, she's just the She-Hulk, you know. Anyway, I am looking forward to it. That comes out in August. So, you know, that's cool. All right. On to The Boys, season 3. So I know you've seen the first two seasons of The Boys.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I really, like, when I saw... is it Hutch or Butch? It's Butch.
Oh, you mean I can't think of his name. I know you're
yeah, right?
About.
Like he's
I
like,
didn't write it down.
When he put the syringe in and he's got like almost Cyclops powers, I thought that was so cool. But I'm also like kind of afraid, like, is he going to become now like an anti-hero and now with this power, just like go full on, like, and go. I mean, I know that, you know, Hollander and all those guys, like they have it coming. But at the same time, it's like you can't fight fire with fire. Now, come on, you know, but I'm definitely interested in how the kid's going.
Yeah,
you know, what's going on, you know, with just everything. I mean, the way it ended, I was just on my feet of like, what's going to happen next? So, I mean, I hope it's good, because I've been waiting to see what it's coming out. I think on Amazon Prime on June 3rd.
I think so. I wasn't sure if that was season 3. The 3 was for season 3, but I do think it's June 3rd.
So that's a nice little, you know, yeah, season 3 on June 3. That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. Definitely. I thought it was a great show. So.
Yeah, no, I love seasons 1 and 2. And what I liked about it, it's very consistent. It's rare that they had a bad episode.
Agreed. Yeah.
And yeah, you were talking about Billy Butcher.
Billy. Carler.
Yeah, I think that, did they say 24 or 48 hours that he's going to have those powers? So it's not going to be permanent.
It's not permanent. Yeah, it fades. But again, if they have multiple, you know, cartridges, but then maybe there's some kind of effect if you keep doing it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure, I know that they did do this in the comics, but I'm sure if they wanted to write it where that he had permanent powers, they can do it. I think he's doing that more to get involved with the boy, because he's kind of like seen as a father figure to the boy. So I think that that'll be kind of cool. Hopefully, like, the boy won't turn psycho now that his mother is dead. Yeah, but I'm mostly looking forward to Homelander. He's such a great villain.
He is. And he's psychologically really messed up.
And the actor that plays him is really, really good.
He's phenomenal. Yeah, agreed.
What's great about the series, too, is that, you know, sometimes, like, we'll say, well, something is woke, or say maybe something is too alt-right. They encapture all of that. Like, they don't, they try to bring in all audiences. Like, they don't write their stories for one particular group. They do it for everybody. So, like, they might highlight some things on one side, but then they might tear them apart too, like in another episode. So,
oh, agreed. They try to make it comical on both sides. They totally point the finger at each other of like how ridiculous this is. And it's great. I love seeing that. I agree completely.
Yeah. And that's the way shows should be. Because if you want to get as many people on board to your show, you know, you don't want to make one particular, say, political group or social group look like the enemy and the other one look like the hero. You know, you got to show that they are heroes and villains of both sides. And I think that they do a good job with that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let me see who's on. Oh, you know, and they introduced Soldier Boy, who's like their Captain America. So I think there's a couple of new heroes. Like when I saw in the trailer, they're just like glimpses of them, but you kind of figure that they would just add more and more heroes especially after they kill off heroes in each season, they got to kind of replace them a little bit, but yeah, it should be fun. So there was like some little bit of breaking news that should make you happy. It sounds like, I don't know if this is 100% confirmed, but it sounds like Disney Plus is going to be bringing another season of Daredevil.
Okay.
To the streaming service.
I mean, I hope it's going to be in line with everything that I saw from season one to season three. I mean, it was dark, but it was really well written, and I hope it's the same actor, because he did a great job as Matt Murdock. I really, really want to see more of how they can explore the character in depth with him. As I don't think, I mean, they're showing a lot of like his hauntiness and his vengeance, but I would like to see more, just like more of the investigative and even a little bit more of the lawyer side. Cause I did like that when, you know, he's kind of battling both sides of being a lawyer in New York and then also being a superhero. Like I really would like to see more of that. So, but I mean, I don't think there's any more talk of Kingpin, right? At this point.
Yeah, he'll be in it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, he's supposed to be in Echo. And I think Daredevil is too.
Okay. So, do you know when Echo's coming out? I don't know if there's been a release date.
No, they just started filming, like, I think this week. So we might see some pictures fairly soon, maybe of Daredevil and Kingpin. So I told you my problem. They had 13 episodes per season. They had three seasons. It's like almost 40 hours. And that's way too much information on Daredevil. I'm sorry. I know people can like watch, I don't know how many seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation and not get bored. But for me, I'd rather just see a Daredevil movie. Just give me a 2-hour, really good movie with a nice budget where we get nice special effects, nice villains. And that's another problem for me with Daredevil. His villains aren't that great. Now, I know you're going to say Kingpin, but Kingpin is actually Spider-Man's villain. I guess he kind of merged over to Daredevil a little bit more. Most of a lot of Spider-Man's villains, Daredevil has fought. Like, he's fought, well, when the Punisher was a villain, he fought the Punisher, Mysterio, Doc Ock, Electro, and because they all live in Manhattan, like, so they kind of share like the same villains in a way. But to me, those are Spider-Man villains. We might see them. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some sort of appearance, at, you know, especially knowing Disney, you know, they might bring in Doc Ock just so people go, "Ooh, Doc Ock's in the next episode." You know, they might show a trailer or something. But he just doesn't have very good villains. He's got Bullseye. I think his biggest, his Joker is Bullseye, basically.
Definitely.
And then Elektra's like on and off again. You know, sometimes they're allies, sometimes they're enemies. What I wouldn't mind seeing, now again, when I was a little kid, when I was reading Daredevil, I specifically remember that he spent a lot of time with Black Widow. And I always wanted to see Daredevil and Black Widow together. I mean, I know she's dead now, but it's probably not going to happen, but you never know. You know,
yeah, if they could resurface her as like a memory or yeah, like, that would be kind of cool.
That's a good idea. But yeah, it's like,
but I don't think there has, I mean, if they can balance it out between Kingpin, Bullseye, and then maybe even scenes of Echo, then I'm okay with, you know, lower, if you want to say, you know, villains. It's just that the writing has to be there. That's all. Like, it doesn't have to be like this big intricate thing. I mean, although I loved it, you know, trying to figure out what Kingpin's going to do next. But, you know, I like the lower ones also because it just gives it more variety. It's just like with Batman and Joker. Like, don't get me wrong, I love Batman and Joker, but I don't need to see them all the time. I'd like to see Batman fight other villains as well.
Speaking of Joker, I was watching that today.
Joaquin
Phoenix. I'm sorry, but I think that's the best DC movie that they've ever made. With Man of Steel, The Dark One. Yeah, I would even put it up there. It's a good movie. Like, when you watch it, it's actually a movie. It's not like an action superhero film. It's a really well done movie, directed, acted, and it's Jack's out of his mind, you know, that he will not watch it. I know he likes, you know, action adventure stuff, but this is just such, I thought it was a home run, you know, especially when I first saw the trailer and I saw him with that clown makeup on, I was like, oh no, this is going to suck. That's not the Joker, but damn, was that a good story? Great performance.
Oh, anyway. When I saw the trailer, I was terrified. I knew that this was going to be deep. And it's funny that you mentioned it because Julian mentioned it the other day. He told me that the scene of him painting his face in the mirror and that single tear was done completely just in one take.
I could see that.
And I mean, of course, you know, I'm always going to talk about occult and stuff. But if you look at the background of Joaquin Phoenix, he was one of the children of God. And if you research that, there is a lot of trauma behind that man. So I think it's...
What do you mean he was one of the children of God? Is that like some sort of
It's a Christian occult. They were abusing a lot of children.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's something definitely to look into, but I just wanted to say that as an actor, he, for that film, as hard as it probably was for him to do it, like emotionally, I think it was just wonderful how he was able to take his own pain and transform it into this character of the Joker. I mean, that's really method acting. That's really as professional as it gets. Cause from the minute he was on to the end, I believed him 100%. I mean, my favorite part really is when he's with De Niro and he's literally on the show. I mean, that to me was the epiphany of the Joker, where he's not only proud of what he does, but he points out and literally blames everyone in society. And that's what kind of grinds Batman, because I bet even Batman deep down knows that that's true. And that's what's like so hard, that yin and that yang there, you know, one wants justice and like freedom, and the other one's just like, no, we just need chaos and let it burn and let it destroy, because that's the only way we're going to learn. And it's just like, wow, like just to get those two energies together. I mean, I don't know how they'd be able to do that, but man, that would be a great film if we could just get the right chemistry of Batman with Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. I mean,
well, they say that there's going to be a second one. I don't know if that's going to happen, because I think like Joaquin is more of an artist, and I think he doesn't want to ruin, yeah, you know, what he had done, and you know, he wants to step. Well, you know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of like that movie Elf with Will Ferrell.
Yeah, you can't make that again. I agree.
No, because like, they offered him tons of money to do an Elf too.
Yeah, and he refused. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I agree with that decision completely.
Yeah, I think that Joaquin might do something like that too. It's like, I'd rather make, you know, low budget independent movies than to reprise that character again, unless they're like, how about $100 million? You know, you never know though. Anyway, so we'll see. I'm not looking forward to the Daredevil season 4 as much as most people are, but we'll see. All right, so we got a lot of Doctor Strange news that came out. What was interesting is last week was the second weekend that Doctor Strange was in the theaters, and it had had a pretty huge dip from the previous weekend. It actually went down 67.5%. Originally, domestically, it made 187 million, and then on the opening weekend, and then the following weekend, it made $61 million. And you know, some people were like, "Ooh, that's horrible," but you know. It's still, it's a success. It's and I think most people probably did go see it opening weekend, you know, that were fans of Doctor Strange or Marvel fans. So I don't see that as such of a negative. Do you, Fedra?
I don't. I think also it's not a coincidence that this coming week there was the full moon and also lunar eclipse, where the moon actually turned red.
Oh, no, yeah, I've seen that. I think
that's a coincidence that they lined it up just when this movie comes out and it's about the Scarlet Witch. It's like, cool. So now you're like aligning like astrologically in marketing, like, oh, it's so cool. Red with red. Oh.
No, I remember a couple of years ago that was the red moon or the blood moon, was out, and I had my camera and I took a picture of it. It was kind of cool. I didn't bother this time. I was like, yeah, seen it once. Don't need to see it again.
I watched the whole transition. It was very beautiful. I just don't believe in coincidences. So I was just like, all right, kudos to the marketing team who looked that up, you know, but maybe everybody was too busy looking at the moon. They didn't want to go to the theater.
But it's doing good. It's made over $700 million, you know, so far. It's got a pretty good chance of hitting a billion. And I looked at some other movies that actually had big decreases, and they were worse ones, like Spider-Man No Way Home, and that made almost $2 billion after its opening weekend. The following weekend, it lost 83.9% of the box office. Batman v Superman was 81.6%. Well, again, well, I guess my point is Spider-Man No Way Home was a success. Batman v Superman was not. So it kind of depends. Like if a movie has bad word of mouth, it's not going to make much money at the box office. But if a movie does, it, you know, it's still might linger along. Like, I don't think the drop will be as severe as this weekend, or, you know, or the previous weekend for Doctor Strange. But Black Widow lost 79%, and we knew that whole thing had to do with its streaming too. Eternals lost 75%. Even Captain America Civil War lost 74%. And the Batman lost almost 70%. So, you know, just because you're getting a huge drop in the box office doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a bomb. And I think right now at 700 million, I would call Doctor Strange a success, the second one.
I agree. I don't think that they should range it just on the first week. They have to look at the longevity, and I agree. I mean, the second week is about, I mean, it's not just word of mouth. It's also, you know, whatever is being put out as far as articles and ratings, mm-hmm. but it's also, you know, availability. I mean, maybe at that time it was just better for people to go out. And sometimes, you know, the following week, you know, they want to wait it out, you know, to avoid the crowds coming in too. I mean, people are still, I hope they are still concerned of their health. So maybe they just wanted to kind of avoid the crowds of opening day. And so it trickles down in that regard too.
Yeah. Well, Maverick's coming out pretty soon, and I think a lot of people are going to be seeing that one.
You said though that the rating is pretty darn low, right?
No, I said it was really high.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think it has 97-98% at Rotten Tomatoes, certified fresh. And then Metacritic's got 81%, which is kind of like an 8.1 out of 10, you know, as far as ratings go. And I think that's pretty good for a movie. Usually they don't really get that high. Most movies, especially action movies, don't get like nines, you know, and for it to get an eight, I think that's pretty good. And I've been hearing nothing but really good buzz on the movie. And I can't wait to see it.
I can wait it out personally, but it's nice to hear that it's doing well because I did like the first one. So it would suck if, you know, the sequel's not as strong. So I hope it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I've always, you know, it's kind of weird. I think Tom Cruise is very underrated as an actor. I really liked him. Like, since he started with like Risky Business and, you know, Rain Man and even The Color of Money. And
a few good men.
Yeah, no, I think he's a really good actor. It's just that he's a little weird, you know, with the whole Scientology thing. And he's a little bit nutty and all that. But overall, though, I think usually when you see him, he puts in a really good performance. Even in with the Mission Impossible movies, he does a really good job with that too. You know, even though not all of them are great, he usually puts in a good job.
I agree. Yeah, he does.
So there is a rumor that there is going to be a live action Captain Carter movie or TV series. And I'm thinking back to when What If came out. There was a rumor that there was going to be an animated Captain Carter series. But now that she's been in Doctor Strange, I think they're probably going to push for a live action thing. Think that's a good idea?
No, I would probably go toward the animated series rather than a movie, but we've also seen how the series can go. So either it's going to have to be a short series or a short movie. That's just me.
I said when I did the roundtable or one of them, I really liked her. She was one of my favorite members of the Illuminati just because mm-hmm. I like the look of her, and I think she's very attractive. I think she's a good actress, so I wouldn't mind seeing a movie with her as long as like she doesn't exceed Steve Rogers' Captain America. And I think that they did that in What If, like she was just too overpowered in What If, and I didn't like the look of her in What If too. So I'd rather see a live action one. Maybe a series or maybe a movie. I wouldn't mind seeing a movie. It's just if I'm going to have 2 hours of Captain Carter instead of six, I'll be happy about it.
Yeah, but that's my concern. Like, I don't want them to turn it into a 3-hour film, you know, and then they turn it around and it's The Last Dance with Steve. It's like, you know, I'll be pissed. And then I'm worried if they make the series too woke and too long, then it's just going to be too much of her, you know? So that's my thing. Like, it's not about that. I'm not against to see her, cause I agree with you. She looked great. And I liked her attitude and her moves in the film, but I'm just worried that they're going to drag it out too much. That's the only thing about either option.
Bringing up The Last Dance, you kind of changed my mind, you know, because I don't want to see that anymore. I think I will vomit if I hear that word once more. Utter it out of either one of their mouths.
Well, and I mean, she already did the catchphrase in the film. So it's like, that's my fear, is that they're going to add even more to it as a series or a movie to elongate it. And it's like, no, do something different. She's the female captain. Like, do something different. Change it up completely. Like, you have that ability.
Well, like I was just talking about, like with the Joker, the Joker is not part of the real DC universe, that movie. It's kind of like a one-shot sort of thing. And that's what I would hope Captain Carter would be, that they don't bring her into the MCU as a regular character. Just do, like, I wouldn't mind if they did one-shots, like what DC has been doing, just for some of the movies. And I think that would be a good one, Captain Carter, kind of like a what-if thing, you know, a live-action what-if. So, but we'll see. It's just a rumor right now. We don't know for sure. So this guy from Night Edge Media, his name was Caleb Williams. He said originally the Illuminati scene was filmed with stand-ins because they weren't sure who they were going to bring in. And I could believe that, you know.
Like, they couldn't decide.
Well, they knew they had to have people in the Illuminati, but they weren't sure exactly which members of the Illuminati were going to be there, because, you know, the ones that were prominently missing for a lot of us was Namor and also Tony Stark. So they might have, and there was talk about Tom Cruise playing an alternate version of Iron Man or Tony Stark. And I hear that that's still a possibility if they continue with the multiverse. I think that they want to work with him. But one of the people that they were looking to bring in was Michael Fassbender as Magneto, as part of the Illuminati. And you remember when he was Magneto?
Yeah, but I can't see him being part of the Illuminati. I thought he was totally against, like, humanity. I thought he really wanted X-Men and superheroes to be separate.
Well, but this is an alternate universe version of Magneto. So
that would be really weird to see.
Well, I'm just saying that they don't have to carry the fundamental values. Like, you know, like how Mordo, you know, he was relatively good in that universe, you know, as opposed to being a villain. So, yeah, you know, it's they could have different types of villains and heroes kind of swap roles. But even so, yeah, I think they would be pushing it to have him in it.
Yeah, I thought it was a good choice to have Xavier then.
Well, Xavier had to be in it if they were going to do the Illuminati, because, like, he was always a core member. But it'd be kind of strange, I think, aesthetically, to see Patrick Stewart's old Xavier and see the young Michael Fassbender's Magneto.
Yeah.
And I think if they would have brought in Ian McKellen's Magneto, that would have been weird too. I think it was good that they kind of left him out.
I think so too. I think that was a good choice.
There was a rumor for a while that Deadpool was going to be in the movie. And I know Ryan Reynolds definitely wants to play Deadpool again. But according to James Clement from the Weekly Planet, which I used to listen to that podcast a lot, that's a very good podcast. He said Deadpool was supposed to be in the end credits scene, but I think I would have much preferred it as opposed to that stupid scene with Bruce Campbell. I think it would have been cool, you know, to see Deadpool kind of break the fourth wall.
Yeah, I definitely would have, because I did not like that scene with Bruce Campbell at all. I thought it was very just off-putting personally.
What they could have done is you could have seen him like beating himself up, and Deadpool could have walked in and say, "Hey, what the hell are you doing?" You know, it's like, and tried to stop him from beating himself. And I think that would have gotten a rousing applause. And I think it was Bianca that said that her whole theater stood, waited for the end credits. And then when it came, a lot of people booed because it was just so
Yeah,
disappointing.
that was me.
Oh, that
Yeah.
was you. That was you.
Yeah,
Okay.
they were really upset. They were not happy about it at all. So I can see why, doing Deadpool would have been much more comical and fun, and leaving on a high note instead of a low note. Because everything is perspective. Maybe some people wouldn't care, but definitely the people in my, group in the theater, they were not happy. And that's not what you want to do with your fans.
No, and I did read about it before I'd seen the movie, and I was like, I am not waiting another 10 to 15 minutes just to see him say, what did he say? It's over? Yeah. No. I'm glad I left when I did. But I could see them, maybe Thor, Love and Thunder, they might do it. We might see an after credit scene with Deadpool. Wouldn't be surprised. I think it's going to come sooner than later. Because he is a popular character. It does the those movies make a lot of money. They made a lot of money for Fox. So now that Disney owns the character, I'm sure they're going to want to make money too off of him.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds is great.
There was a rumor. I don't know if I believe this one though, that Daniel Craig was supposed to play Reed Richards of the Fantastic Four in Doctor Strange. But
No idea.
yeah, there was also a rumor he was supposed to play Boulder the Brave, which again, I'm not a huge knowledge base of that character, but he didn't do it because of COVID, and he just didn't want to, risk things or whatever. I still don't know. I can't picture him as Reed at all. So if somebody even thought of that, they shouldn't be on the team, of the knowledge base that comes up with casting these characters. Because no. There's a rumor that there's going to be an America Chavez solo movie.
I don't know. I mean, she wasn't very strong as a character in this film. She was kind of the side. I mean, really, it was all about Doctor Strange and all about the Red Witch. So, yeah, I could kind of see that definitely for the younger crowd, because again, she's supposed to play a 14-year-old. So that'd be nice for the younger audience. But what are they going to do? Is she going to just fly through dimensions again?
Yeah, she's not a very fun character, and I do feel she was the worst character in that movie, unfortunately for her. But again, it's Disney, and
Yeah.
they are pushing the woke envelope a little bit, but things seem to be changing a bit. So, maybe
Well, if
they.
they could keep on adding stronger characters, like hey, if she bumps into Hawkeye, or she if she's training with Wong and then something occurs, like I could see that happening, like okay. But if it's just her and then we're getting newer characters, then I'm concerned, because we need to have strong, lead superheroes in this film for it to make sense
Training
when
with
introducing
Wong.
her. Yeah, that's how she ended at the film. She was training with Wong at
I
the
told you, I can't
fortress.
stand that character anymore. That would not be a movie I'd want to see.
Well, no, I just mean that it starts from there. That would make sense,
And then she kills him.
Maybe she accidentally puts him in another dimension.
Or his head in a different dimension. That'd be good. They could make a Young Avengers movie and she could be in there. But yeah, I don't know about a solo movie. I think that's pushing it. Even a Disney Plus series, I think, would be pushing it. I just, it'd kind of be like Echo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, do we really want that? I think people want to see the Ms. Marvel series, but I think you're really, really, they're definitely pushing it with Echo, and they would be really pushing it with America Chavez. So I don't know. Again, this is just a rumor. A lot of these things are rumor. Let's see here. Oh, Bryce Dallas Howard. So you know who Bryce Dallas Howard is, right?
No.
All right, well, you know Ron Howard?
Yes, the director?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his daughter.
Oh, okay.
She was in, you know, is it Jurassic World? Did you ever see that one? With Chris Pratt?
Nope.
Yeah, that was like they kind of rebooted the series and they brought in Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
And, okay, there she is. Yes, actually, I like her in Black Mirror. She was incredible in that series, actually.
She was in Black Mirror?
Yeah, she played. It's actually Black Mirror in that episode. It's one of, I think it was season two or season three, the first episode. And she actually is conveying the social credit system.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
She was in Spider-Man 3. She played Gwen Stacy.
Yep.
She was in, well, I first saw her in the Village, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
And I haven't seen that. Is it good?
Oh, you should watch that one. Yeah. It's like basically, I don't want to, it's tough to really talk about it without giving away spoilers, but I think it was one of his last good movies. You know, I would check it out if you have a chance. And then he kind of used her again in, I forget what the title was. I think it was like Woman in the Water or something like that, where I think she played a mermaid. Anyway, I'm not a huge fan of hers. I think it's a lot of nepotism. I think Hollywood keeps hiring her because of her father. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's a good actress. I don't think she's a good director because she directed the worst episodes of The Mandalorian, but she directed the best episodes or the best episode of The Book of Boba Fett. Even so, I think that they're giving her directing jobs because of her father. And I don't like that at all. I don't want to see her direct a Fantastic Four movie. Well, that's the whole thing, is that she's rumored to be in final talks to direct a Fantastic Four movie. And
how come you don't want to give her a chance?
Don't like her. I'll be honest with you, I just don't like, because I think most of her career had a lot to do with nepotism, like Colin Hanks, who's another one I can't stand. Any movie that he's in, I'm sure he's going to be directing pretty soon. And I just don't think she's very good. I know you liked her. Was it Black Mask? You said
Black Mirror. Yeah, but that was one episode. But that was also as an actress. That wasn't as a director. So very different role. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, it would be nice to see, you know, a female perspective of the Fantastic Four. But again, I agree with you. You know, if she's really not up to par, then she really, you know, shouldn't. But so you were, okay. So you were saying that she was good at directing Book of Boba.
Yeah.
But not in The Mandalorian.
She directed the episode where the Mandalorian showed up, which I think was everybody's favorite episode.
Okay. I mean, that could be, you know, why she's getting this opportunity. I mean, of course, I agree with you. It is all about connections and who you know, definitely, in pretty much any industry, especially the film industry. But I think if she was able to work her magic on that, which, let's face it, I mean, that episode made us keep watching. Otherwise, we would have completely defeated the purpose of watching Book of Boba.
Yeah. But like I said, I thought the episodes that she did for the Mandalorian sucked. I thought they were the worst ones, but I don't know. I think a lot of times, like, these actors are so pompous and arrogant that they're like, oh, you know what? I bet you I could direct a movie. Let me direct a movie. I know William Shatner was like that. I will say probably the only actors I can think of that transitioned over to directors that did a good job was her father, Ron Howard. And Clint Eastwood is also a pretty good director. And I guess Kevin Costner, he directed Dances with Wolves, Mel Gibson. I guess I'm thinking of a few of them, but I just think a lot of them are just pompous that they think that I can do anything, I can direct. And I think she's one of them. And again, I don't know her, and maybe I'm being a little too brutal on her, but I would rather them get somebody really good to direct the Fantastic Four, because we've had 3 Fantastic Four movies and 2 of them have been okay. I didn't see the other one. They're supposed, Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four are really supposed to be the most important characters in the Marvel Universe. And they need to be treated respectfully and with kid gloves. And they never really are, unfortunately, for me, from my point of view. I just don't think that they are. But they are. They're like, if say there were no movies and they were just comic books, and people would always think of Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four would come to the top. Maybe the X-Men, because Wolverine is so popular. You know, and there's the Hulk, but even so, they were important in the history, the Fantastic Four, as like the first family of Marvel, the first family of superheroes. I just hope it's really good. I hope they don't mess it up. I hope they cast well, but we'll see. I guess I'm very negative because I just think it's...
No, I think you're skeptical, and I think you have a right to be, definitely. Oh, I mean, thanks. she hasn't done any, you know, Marvel before. I mean, yeah, she did Book of Boba, but it's a different, you know, reality, you know, when that you're creating in there. So I definitely see why you're skeptical. I just, you know, I'm more open to the fact that I want to see the perspective, then I could judge accordingly. But I agree with you also that if 2 out of the 4 that were made already weren't so great, I could see why you're like, I just don't want another bad version of the film. So,
Yeah. So Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy somewhat announced that going forward, they're no longer going to cast new actors to play younger versions of classic characters, like what they did in Solo, A Star Wars Story. Kathleen Kennedy said, there should be moments along the way when you learn things. Now it does seem abundantly clear that we can't do that anymore. So, did you see Solo?
I didn't.
All right. Well, I seen Solo. It actually, when it came out, people that went to go see the movie were actually surprised that it was not bad. You know, it was a decent movie. Decent story, but yeah, it's tough. I always say, when you saw the reboot of Star Trek with Chris Pine, when he played Captain Kirk, he did an excellent job. And it's rare when you see something like that, when a character that's so beloved by people like William Shatner is, and even Leonard Nimoy is Mr. Spock. It's like, well, how could you reboot that? You know, but they did do a good job, and some of them kind of mimicked the characters and then some of them didn't. But they just had the right writing, the right direction, the good story, and it worked. And it's like, again, I think it's a positive experience when they do a reboot. I think Solo was a mess, because originally they had Chris Lord and Phil Miller were directing it. Kathleen Kennedy didn't like what they were doing, so she fired them. And then she brought in Ron Howard, I think, to finish the movie. But I think the lead actor, Alden Ehrenreich, whatever his name is, he didn't look anything like Han Solo, and he didn't act anything like Han Solo, and I think that kind of stuck out. But I think she's making a mistake by making that statement. So does that mean that from now on, all they're going to do is do deep fakes, like what they did with Luke Skywalker, and like have
CGI faces and stuff.
yeah. I don't know if that's the right way to go too, because even though, Luke did look cool and the technology is improving, it still wasn't perfect. The voice kind of threw me because I felt that it was too digitized. Like they didn't need Mark Hamill's voice. They could have got somebody younger to do a younger Luke's voice. I think she's just got to go. I think that she's in way over her head. She's making a lot of bad decisions, and she's just kind of proven that she's not the right person for the job. Now, when The Force Awakens came out, I loved her because I was like, damn, that movie is so good. And I could still watch that movie and enjoy it. And I think it's just a great movie. But somewhere along the way, she lost her way. And I think right now, the future of Star Wars is very messy, especially with when we saw the Book of Boba Fett. Now, Obi-Wan's coming out soon. We don't know what that one's going to be like. Mandalorian was somewhat positive. But I'm more worried about the future Star Wars than I am about Marvel. Anyway, I'm sorry I kind of hijacked that little story. What are your
No, it's
views then?
okay. I mean, it's hard to say because I avoided the solo film because it wasn't Han Solo. So there's going to be people like that where they don't want to see the younger versions. So I can get that. But I also don't think that being CGI is the way because then everything's so like cut up and it's not relevant and it doesn't make sense, with the image and the voice and all of that. So honestly, like I can't really come up with a solution. But I mean, I see the point of not getting younger characters just because, a lot of people weren't happy with the actor who played Anakin, and a lot of people weren't happy with, I'm going to call him Baby Anakin. And, that's another example of where getting a younger actor to play those roles in Star Wars just really didn't fit or make sense. I mean, I went with it, as a fan, I had to. But did I see those care? Like, I saw maybe more in the prequels with quote unquote older Anakin, I could see more of a relevance of Darth Vader or of the becoming of Darth Vader. But like baby Anakin, no, never made sense to me and never, I never connected it. So I can kind of see that point.
Yeah, they made young Anakin, little goody two shoes, way too much. I always felt that they should have showed his dark side, and maybe Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon didn't notice it, but we should have seen it. Like where, yeah, he's good, but he's got bad tendencies. Instead, like we got that whole scene in The Phantom Menace where Yoda and Mace Windu is like, nope. Something about that kid we just don't like, but we didn't see anything bad about him. But I think that, yeah, like that movie was a mess. That whole prequel trilogy, I'm sorry, it was a mess. It's just that
No, and I'm not trying to like point it out because of that. I'm just using that as one of the points of why it's difficult when you start to go on that route of showing a younger character. It's not just using younger actors. So that's what I mean. It's like I can definitely see why she's making that halt. I mean, if it's for now, I get it, but it shouldn't be a permanent thing, like you said. Like it should be something that's re-looked at, for film's sake. because we can come up with, you know, better stories. It shouldn't be something set in stone.
I think a lot of the Star Wars stuff should remain almost sacred, you know, and I'm not crazy about them bringing back. Actually, we can kind of get to our next story. Hayden Christensen was talking about Darth Vader's role in Obi-Wan. And he said, this is sort of the point in a timeline that hasn't really been explored yet. And I think that the character of Darth Vader is an interesting point in his life in terms of what happened before and where we left him in episode 3. He's very much sort of trying to reconcile his past and hunting down the Jedi. Obviously, it's his job and he's mandated by the Emperor, but it's more than that. It's a personal mission for him. I feel like in the prequels, what they did that was really wrong is Yoda was incredible in The Empire Strikes Back, and they gave us way too much information on Yoda in the prequels, where I would have liked it more if he was just a hermit that trained Jedi, so that was strong with the Force. Instead, we got to see him on the Jedi Council. We got to see that he wasn't crazy, that he was like the best at what he did. Sometimes we don't need to know everything about a character. And I feel like we don't really need to know what happened between the prequels up to A New Hope with Darth Vader, especially if they could ruin it. Now, I could be wrong. I think like in Obi-Wan, maybe it'll be good, but I know we've talked about it. It just doesn't make sense for Darth Vader to confront Obi-Wan before he meets him again on the Death Star. And it just feels forced. And I'm just kind of concerned about how that's, if it's going to affect my enjoyment of A New Hope. It probably won't. I just think they're pushing it.
Yeah, I think they're definitely pushing it. I think it would be interesting to show the battle and hatred and the emotion in Darth Vader at this time, because I agree with you. He should be reflecting on the fact that he did fail, that Padme did die no matter what. And, you know, is he aware of his children? Is he not? Is he not even like considering them? Then definitely his goal of annihilating the Jedi, or anyone that supports the Jedi for the protection of the Emperor and, you know, his legacy, like definitely. And also just the accumulation of the power that he starts to get when he does kill, and his reputation with the Emperor, like that would be very, you know, I would like to see that, you know, and keep, you know, any kind of relation with Obi-Wan separate. Because in my mind, again, from seeing New Hope, they don't have any interaction until that moment, until New Hope. And personally, I like it that way. It gives this kind of tension to that scene that you would not have if they had had another altercation. Now, if there's something in passing, like if Darth Vader's ship is hovering over Tatooine and he feels the Force, or Obi-Wan is somewhere on the ship or somewhere where Darth Vader is and he feels the presence, and he's just like, you know, like a guard dog is just like all round up. He's like, "It's here. I feel the Jedi Force. They all gotta die." You know, like that kind of feeling, like that would be cool. But for them to be like face to face, that would just kill it for me, because that to me just doesn't make sense. I mean, the reason of it just being so epic in New Hope is because Darth Vader has literally become a master Sith, and Obi-Wan is now literally a master Jedi, and the two forces are coming together, and it's like, it's a resolution. Like, some people just won't see that, but I see it as a complete resolution. Like, the way that Obi-Wan sacrifices himself, like, people don't, like, as far as a fight, like, Darth Vader thinks that it's so easy, like, oh, I won. But it's like, you didn't. And that's what I love that's so epic about that. So I'm just afraid that Disney's going to just now embellish it with all these cute little fight scenes and all these cute little effects. And I don't want to see that. Like, I love the original A New Hope because it also stimulates the old way of the samurai. It was very calculated, slow moving moves, not all this fast crap. Like, that's just decoration, really. Like, a good fight is when two fighters are implementing each other's moves. And these two trained together, like Obi-Wan taught him. That's what makes it so epic.
They were older too at that point, you know, like where they couldn't do the moves that they had done in the prequels. So I can understand that. Even like when Vader fights Luke, the two times he fights him in the original trilogy, Luke is kind of jumping around like a jumping bean at times, but Vader is very methodical, you know, and calculating as to what kind of moves he's going to use. I mean, sometimes he uses anger, you know, when he's striking Luke, but he's not doing backflips or whatever.
I think that shows the level of maturity.
Yeah. I was going to say that, yeah, I'm pretty sure he doesn't know about his kids because in Return of the Jedi, when he reads Luke's mind and he goes, "Sister, you have a twin sister," you know, so he didn't know anything about that. And I think also in A New Hope, when he is on Luke's tail as they're trying to destroy the Death Star, he just says, "Well, the Force is strong with this one," you know. Mm-hmm. He would be able to tell if that was his son or, you know, but I think as we go into The Empire Strikes Back, he is now aware of Luke Skywalker. And of course, since his name is Skywalker and they never changed his name, which you would think that they would if they're trying to hide him from the Emperor, you know, he knows it's his son now. I wouldn't mind seeing, I know I'm sounding like a hypocrite, but I wouldn't mind seeing maybe something between episode 4 and 5, you know, from where they went from Yavin 4 to Hoth. Like, what led them that way? Because they were victorious at the end of A New Hope, and then all of a sudden they were on the run, you know? So I think that would kind of be interesting, but they had to be careful about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, even like they did it in Rebels, like where Vader confronted Ahsoka, and Ahsoka struck at him and knocked part of his mask off. And that pissed me off because it's like, you don't want to see Vader get bested by his apprentice, you know, especially, you know, you think that Vader is unbeatable at this point, you know, that he can kick anybody's ass. He's like one of the most powerful Siths, one of the most powerful users of the Force. And I don't want to see Obi-Wan, you know, take him apart in any sort of way. And I didn't want to see Ahsoka either. Yeah, it's tough. I it's unfortunate, but I think that Disney is kind of milking a lot of this crap that they shouldn't be doing. They should be focusing on new adventures with new characters, with good stories. Now, if they want to, they can go back prior to the prequels, you know, and deal with the Old Republic. But
I saw an article of that. I don't know how, maybe that's just a rumor, but sounds like they were considering that like 100 years before.
Yeah, I think they still are looking to do something with that. But they are looking at other Star Wars movies that are coming out. Like, I think Rian Johnson might have a trilogy. I'm not sure if that's still in effect. Kevin Feige is supposed to do his own Star Wars movie. They just have to be more careful with them. I think Star Wars is a more precious commodity than Marvel, and they're not doing a good job with this. I appreciate that they stopped making movies. Like after they made the mistake with The Rise of Skywalker, they realized that, all right,
need to take a break.
Yeah, we made a mistake. We have to basically retreat and recalculate what we're going to do next. And so they went with TV series. And I think it's less offensive to make mistakes on, well, you know, like the Book of Boba Fett. I never liked Boba Fett, so I didn't give a damn, you know, what they did to his character. But I'm sure some fans of Boba Fett were like, what the hell? You know, it's like
yeah,
see them, I'm like sure. having a bust of Boba Fett in their room and just kicking it. But yeah, they did kind of destroy that character. And you know that there are a bunch of woke writers that worked on that series that just softened him up so much. And he just shouldn't have been soft. Just for really sure. Sad. And, but yeah, you know, Obi-Wan is coming out fairly soon. I don't know, it's next week or the week after. So we'll see what they do. You know, it's like, hopefully all of my complaining is for naught and it's going to be a good series.
Yeah, but, fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not like I want it to fail. I want it to be good. I want everything to be good. It's like when I, you know, again, with DC, Marvel, I always want the movies to be good. It's not like I'm rooting for them to be bombs. But we'll see. Oh, yeah, I almost missed this story. So you remember during the Oscars, Zack Snyder, or they had a fan favorite category.
Yeah.
And like people could call in. I don't know if they called in or they tweeted or whatever the hell. And basically said what their fan favorite moment was and what their favorite movie was. Because, you know, like the Oscars, basically, they never really honor, you know, like action movies. So they were trying to do that to bring in more people. So surprisingly, Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead one, which I never seen. I didn't even know it was out. I think it was a Netflix movie. But that beat out Cinderella, which I was glad. Dune, which I was kind of glad. I didn't see Malignant. The Power of the Dog, I didn't see. Sing 2, I saw. I didn't like. Spider-Man No Way Home. The Suicide Squad and Tick, Tick, Boom. So you would think Spider-Man No Way Home would have won, you know.
Right.
Since a lot of fans liked it, but for some reason, Army of the Dead won. And then after that, they announced that the fan favorite cheer, the cheer moment. So the cheer moments that won was Ezra Miller's The Flash running through the Speed Force. And it wasn't only this year, but it was the cheer moment for decades. And it beat out Spider-Man No Way Home, the three Spider-Man teams up, Avengers Endgame, when Captain America says Avengers Assemble, the battle cry moment, Jennifer Hudson's I'm Telling You, I don't know why that was on there actually, from Dreamgirls, and Keanu Reeves' Bullet Time backbend in The Matrix. And they picked The Flash. So it turns out, it sounds like this is a big conspiracy and that this whole thing was rigged.
Yeah, that's exactly what my intuition is. This is just marketing to boost Ezra.
It's just that
Flash film.
Well, they had a lot of online bots basically rigged the whole thing. So yeah. It was either Snyder's fans or Snyder himself. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Snyder himself, you know, was somehow involved. I can't, you know, I like 300 a lot. I liked some of the stuff he did with the DC. I just don't like the way he's behaving and using the fans to get him work, you know, by trying to let him have more movies to do. And the Snyder version of Justice League, which was okay. And I'm glad that they did it, but it's like, that doesn't mean that you can, you know, you made a mistake with the other movies. You're done. But right. I feel like he's manipulating the fans. And I think he manipulated them to vote for Army of the Dead and also the favorite cheer moment. How could that beat out Neo's bullet time thing. How could that beat out that? And there were other good stuff that was favorite cheer moments. Give me a break. It definitely was fixed. It was rigged.
I think it's fixed because I could see much more things winning than The Flash. That's for sure. The film I haven't seen, so I really can't comment on that. But definitely, there's better moments than The Flash moment, for sure.
Speaking of The Flash, did you see that video? I think I sent you that video of him.
No, I didn't want to. I've been, the last time I read the few articles of him, I'm already pissed off. I want him locked up. So I didn't even look at it. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Well, I just want to mention, I did watch it and I was super annoyed because he was arrested. And well, the first video that they showed, he resisted arrest and he was a real jerk. But then the second one, he was in the police car and the police were being nice to him. And again, it was in Hawaii. So I'm sure they were all native Hawaiians, that were in the police force. And he was complaining about his handcuffs being too tight. And so while in the car, one of the cops had said, call him sir. He said, well, sir, I'll try to see what I can do. And he goes, do not call me sir. If you call me sir one more time, I'm going to have you charged with a hate crime. I associate as a transgender, and my preferred pronouns are they and them. If you call me sir one more time, I'll make sure that you're charged with a hate crime. When I heard him say that, I was like, oh, I just can't stand the guy. He should never do a movie ever again. I just don't like people like that, because the police are just doing their job and they're trying to be polite to him. If somebody called me a Mrs. or a Miss, I wouldn't charge them with hate crime. It's like, I'd be like,
I think they would throw it out if they looked at you and did that. But yet if they do that to Ezra, then it's a big deal. That's my concern, is that there's a double standard there. And I don't think that that's ever really, how are you going to make that a case? You've already committed a crime, and because the police didn't address you a certain way, that's a hate crime. Like, no, you're already in their custody. They could call you whatever. They could call you Sue if they wanted to. I'm thinking of the Johnny Cash song, but they could call you Sue if they wanted to. You're locked up. You're it's a done deal. Like, I mean, he could try. But I think it's all, again, just for an attention scheme. It's not about identity at that point. I'm sorry. Like, honestly, when you get arrested, you're a number at that point. That's why they give you this little piece of paper with a number on it and you face it with the picture and then you do your side profile. That's what happens. You no longer have your freedom. You no longer have an identity. You're literally a convict at that point. So this whole idea, like, that he's playing out, again, I think it's definitely coming from a celebrity kind of privilege. And it's like, look, you're not above the law. Nobody is above the law. And I know that we don't have the most ideal system, but if we want to keep believing that we have any kind of system, we have to maintain that nobody is above the law and not use it in that way just for them to get attention. I mean, that's desperate, really.
Amen, Fredra. You said that excellently.
Thank you. I mean, I'm all for people, with their identity and orientation, but that man has harmed a couple and already a woman. I'm still pissed that he's not been in jail sitting in a cold cell next to Bubba. I mean, he needs to be.
Yeah, that's exactly humbled. Who needs to be sitting next to too.
He needs to, he needs to have some kind of fear put into him. Not because I'm saying that that's, appropriate of violence, but like he's literally hurt people. Like, that's what I don't get. Like, why do you have such sympathy to side with someone who has literally physically hurt already three people? I don't care what his identity, what his gender is, what his orientation is, what his job is. Down to the bare bones, he's a human who hurt other people for no reason. There was no defense there.
And I don't like people defending him just because of how he relates to himself gender-wise, because I've seen that too. They're like, well, you know, well, he's a hero, you know, and they should not have called him sir. They should call him they, them. And it's like, but he's a jerk. You know, I mean, you got to realize that there's good and bad, like I'd said in the beginning of this podcast, and everybody in gender, in race, in religious affiliation, political affiliation, you know, not one group is all evil. Not one group is all bad, is all good. I mean, and
no, that's an inferior complex. Like,
yeah,
really? I mean, that's why it's hard for me to have conversations if you're not going to go down to the bare bones.
Like, yeah, if you're narrow-minded.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you're going to be caught up in that title or label, I mean, we clearly can't relate, because I don't look at you and then, you know, look at what, you know, your status is like a robot. I look at you as a human being. I don't, you know, like I just, and these are very basic things that we're talking about right now, where, you know, he, as I said, you know, he hurt people. He's a danger right now to society. He's a danger to himself. He needs help. He really does. You know, and I get that he is very influential and he's very protective of his identity. I understand the sensitivity behind his identity and wanting to be addressed a certain way. Then maybe you should have thought of that before you hurt other people and you got yourself arrested. Nobody else is accountable for that but him. That is they's responsibility.
And he's got no contrition either. It just basically, he still thinks that he's the victim in all of these things. And it's obvious, especially when there's video footage. You know, again, and I don't know if you're lumping in that video of him choking that fan.
Yes.
And throwing her to the ground. But yes, it bothers me that he's so damn entitled that he's untouchable and that he's able to get out of jail within minutes, where most people would probably be spending a couple of weeks at least, you know, for the things that he's done. You know, maybe if they're lucky to be able to afford bail. It's just it's a weird sort of world we live in. And I do hope that Warner Brothers makes the right decision and just erases him from the movie. I still think they can do it, because I don't want to see this guy succeed at all. He doesn't deserve success by his behavior.
I shouldn't. Yeah, I agree. I don't think he should be tolerated, because then you're condoning it. So then now it doesn't matter, right? You can do horrible things, and because of your gender or orientation or identity, you're given, you know, some leeway than any other gender or orientation. So how is that equality?
And what's sad about this Flash movie is that most people are going to see it not because they want to see Ezra Miller as the Flash. They want to see Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yeah.
Or they want to see Ben Affleck as Batman, or Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, whoever is going to be in the movie. I'm not 100% sure. But it's like, I hope that's just, this might inflate his brain even more if it makes so much money that he's going to think that, well, I'm the reason why this movie succeeded. The movie's called The Flash. I'm the star of the movie, you know. But again, they can replace him if there is a sequel. They might just say, well, we're going to go with somebody else. But we don't know. Hopefully, well, they will.
Ezra can't run from him. They's self. That's one thing.
Gee, you're very nice. I still refer to him as a he, you know, because he, first of all, look, I don't see him transitioning. I find it weird too.
Well, that's the thing. That's the issue that I would say that I have. I don't mind labeling the person how they wish to be labeled. However, we're also in reality. And in reality, you look a certain way. and the way that you look, others will perceive you as a male, and therefore they will address you as a male.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because they don't know for better, or they're going based on their perception of the male. It isn't to insult you. It isn't because they don't understand. It is because that is what they see in front of them. It's the same way that we would see Marilyn Monroe and we would say that she's a woman. We wouldn't say that she's a trans. Mm. We wouldn't say, you know, they or them. We would just see Marilyn Monroe and be like, ah, it's a she or a her because of the feminine body, right? So that's my issue. It's like, if I'm attempting to address you the way that I address you, but if I privately have a conversation with Joe and I reference Ezra Miller as a he because he's either in transition or he is, in my perspective, dressing, acting, behaving as an aggressive male, I will say that. So why are you saying to me now that that's an insult when I am not trying to insult anything? I'm simply just expressing my perspective. And that's the issue that I have.
I think he's taken advantage of the situation that by him using those pronouns that he's got some people on his side. Because if you look at it, every time he gets arrested or he's out in public, he's dressed in a suit. He's dressed as a male, you know? But when he goes to premieres, he wears dresses. You know, why is that? What, wouldn't you wear dresses all the time? You know what I'm saying? Like if you're transitioning. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy, but I do think that some people do kind of take advantage of the situation, you know, and it also hurts people that actually are transitioning too.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're saying that, yeah, it could be a position of transition, but it just could be a position to get attention. Like how Lady Gaga had a full dress of meat on her body and got everybody to talk about her because she had meat on her body and it worked. So yeah, I definitely can see that perspective. And I think that people don't take that into account when it comes to that community of how others will be confused.
I didn't know that. Okay. Did she piss Peter off with that?
I think so. But I don't know what it was in reference to. It was a long time ago. I could look it up. But yeah, I significantly remember that she had her whole entire body was covered in meat.
That's dumb.
But hey, it worked. Everybody talked about it, as you can see.
It.
Oh, in 2010, she wore a dress made of raw beef, which was commonly referred to by the media as the meat dress. She explained that the following the award ceremony that the dress was a statement about one's need to fight for what one believes in, and highlighted her distaste for the U.S. military's don't ask, don't tell policy.
Oh, shut the hell up. That has nothing to do with it. She's just, I won't even go into that.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at it, I thought she was going toward vegetarianism. You see how that could be misconstrued even there, right?
But
there.
That's being hypocritical too. I mean, if she was a vegetarian and she's wearing meat, those animals had to die in some way, you know, and she was kind of promoting that too, the death of animals. Anyway, yeah. You know what? I think we're done.
Yeah.
Unless you have anything else you want to say.
No, but I think that's a great example of showing another different perspective of what the person wants to say or wants to mean and then how we see it. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it seems like the attitude for the celebrities is to do as much as they can get away with. And I just hope that, you know, Ezra is served a nice cold plate of justice.
Yeah. All right, so we'll wrap this one up. So, Frederick, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Yes, you can be my friend on Facebook, or you can follow me on Instagram and write to me on fedra@wdwnt.com.
And you could be my friend on Facebook. Just look for my name. And you can send me an email at joe@wdwnt.com or send... Well, I already said that. Send me a friend request on Facebook. Check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, and Universal Park News Today. for all your Disney Universal news, and please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WWNT. And with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 24. So until next time, see ya.
Night, everyone.